Lord, let's bow our hearts in prayer. Heavenly Father, we have assembled this evening, and thy word is before us, and we pause to give thee thanks for the opportunity this evening to come together with thy word before us. We pray, O Lord, for hearts that would be pliable and moldable, and that thy word would, that good seed would find its place in our hearts, O Lord, that would produce and bring forth the fruit that thou dost seek from thy creation. So bless us as we have come together and open our hearts and minds. Speak thou to us, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. There was for this evening's a reading, I desire with God's help to read from the book of Revelation, chapter number 3, beginning with verse 14 to the end. Book of Revelation, chapter 3, beginning with verse 14 to the end. Želim da se nađe I pročita sa Božjom pomoću iz treće glave iz knjige Otkrivenja, početak od 14. broj. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. May God bless our reading and let us kneel before our Lord in prayer.
Our gracious God, our Father in heaven, as we come before thee in prayer together in this evening hour, we would humbly ask thee that thou wouldst grant us grace to pray unto thee. And Father, that we would have faith to believe, Lord, that we are coming before thee and that thou dost truly hear our prayers as we would deliver them unto thee. So, Father, we are thankful, and Lord, we have come with silent prayers and now with an audible prayer, beseeching thy presence in this evening hour, Lord, knowing that if we are open to thy Spirit's prodding and teaching in our lives in this evening, Lord, that we will be blessed for having been here in thy house. And so we just pray thee, Father, help us, Lord, that we would have, as we have already prayed, open and pliable hearts that we might be molded to be as thou wouldst have us to be. Lord, that we would yield ourselves to thee and that we would let thee have the preeminence in all things of our lives. And so, Father, we would glorify thee. We would lift up thy name. We would praise thee on high for who thou art, all the things that thou dost do. Lord, we know thee to be a good God. We can testify that thou art a merciful God. We can testify, Father, that thou art a patient God. We magnify and laud thy name, Father, for only thou art worthy of all the things that thou dost do. Father, we know that thou hast spoken the worlds in place. Of this we are confident, and we believe that. We have full faith in that thou hast spoken these worlds into place. We also believe, Lord, that thou dost know the life of a little sparrow, And so, Father, we know that thou dost care for us, and we are so thankful, Lord, that we can place our full faith and confidence in thee, that come what may in this life, Lord, we can call thee our Father. And so, Father, we would pray, Lord, that whether we would know great hardship in this life, or that we would know great abundance and wealth in this life, whatever our lot would be, that we would nourish and cherish our relationship with Jesus Christ above all else. Father, may he be most important in our lives. May he reign within our thoughts, within our minds, that everything that we say and do would reflect that Jesus Christ is Lord. And Father, this is our desire, and we just pray thee for grace and for strength, moment by moment, that we would reflect Jesus Christ and him crucified. And so, Father, we just give thee thanks for thy grace day by day, Lord, that we can come boldly before thy throne and know that thou wilt provide for us grace to help in time of need. And so, Father, we would pray thee, Lord, work thou in each and every heart. Lord, we know that we all have unique circumstances of life, and no two of us are alike. And so, Father, we just pray thee that as only thy Spirit can do, that he would touch every heart and every life that is here this evening hour, and that thou would speak to our needs in a meaningful way. And so, Father, we would pray for those who are not here, and we know that there are those in hospitals, and we know there are those that are recovering, and those who are simply feeling the frailty of old age. Father, we would lift them all up in prayer unto thee. Lord, we know that thou canst be all things to all people, and Lord, we know that thou canst be a companion to those who are lonely and comfort to those who are hurting. And Father, we just pray thee, Lord, that thou wilt provide then for those who have great troubles and trials of life. And so, Father, Lord, we just pray thee for our church. Lord, help us that we, as a body of believers here in this place and in this time, that we would reflect Jesus Christ in all things, in our family lives, in our individual lives, in our church life, in our work life, in our school life. Father, that we would reflect Jesus Christ, and that we would testify of the good things, Lord, that thou hast done for each and every one of us. Help us, Lord, that we would work together as a body in love and in unity, esteeming one another higher than ourselves. Father, that thou wilt be glorified. Father, truly there are many, many things that we can ask of thee in prayer. We just pray thee that thou wilt add to this prayer that which is lacking. Forgive us where we fail, and we know that we do that often. We confess that freely and would not hide it. And so we give thee the thanks, give thee the praise, and give thee the honor, and we give it all unto thee through the name that is above all names, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
If we are asked our beliefs, let's say, what am I? I am a Christian. And what is my estimation of myself? What am I like? Am I a good Christian? Am I a bad Christian? Am I a struggling Christian? What do I define myself as? This church defined themselves as being rich. They were rich. They were increased with goods. They didn't need anything. This doesn't necessarily mean in being rich and increased in goods and monetarily speaking, but this church felt they had it going and they didn't need anything. They followed the ordinances. They gathered together and they served the Lord. And they had need of nothing. He says, but now here comes the faithful and the true witness and what he has to say about his church that praises him through song, through words. He says to them, you don't know that you are wretched, wretched. You're miserable. You're poor. You're blind. And you're naked. How can there be such a contrast? How can we be so deceived? How is this church able to be so deceived into believing that they had need of nothing? And the faithful witness tells them, you're blind, you're naked, you're miserable, you're poor, you're wretched. How can a body of believers who proclaim Jesus Christ have Christ say this about them? What could possibly bring this about? And he says it simply, you're lukewarm. Dear ones, the hardest person to reach is the person that sits in front of the Word every Sunday and every midweek, and he's always here and he's listening, but he disobeys. He's lukewarm. He's comforted by the fact that he is here. He hears. And we might even say, oh, that was a good sermon, and we share it with one another, almost feeling good that we recognize a good sermon or whatever it might be, feeling good talking about it. But now, when it comes to the application, turn the words of our Lord Jesus Christ into my heart and apply it to my life. Change my behavior. Change the way I think. Holiness, what does it mean to me? And so on. It falls by the wayside. I'm lukewarm. And Christ says, I will spew you out of my mouth. But he doesn't leave us like that. He didn't leave the church in Laodicea like that to just say, you are lukewarm, and I'm going to spew you out of my mouth, and you're done. He's speaking to a church that has strayed so far from what his design for them was, that he couldn't even call them his own. He actually is not even in their midst. He actually has removed himself from them. But he didn't leave them and forsake them. No, he couldn't dwell in their midst when they're disobedient to him. And dear ones, this is something that we apply. The only way we can apply this is each of us individually. The only way we can do this is each of us individually to apply the Word of God to our hearts so that it would bring about this change, because Christ doesn't leave this church. He doesn't leave me and you. He says, I counsel thee now. I'm going to counsel you to buy of me gold that is tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. You can get that from me. It doesn't mean bars of gold. And I'm going to give and buy of me white raiment. How are you going to buy it? Without price, without money. You can buy it from me. You don't need anything. He goes, but buy of me white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. What makes a person naked? What makes a person, as he says here, poor, blind, and naked? What did Adam and Eve do that made them naked? They sinned. And he says, here, I'll give you the white raiment to cover up your shame, your sin, so that thou mayest be clothed in the shame of thy nakedness. The shame of thy nakedness did not appear. What can cause shame other than sin? Sin alone causes shame. And he says, put on my robes, my white raiment, holiness and righteousness, and you won't be ashamed. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. And he says, as many as I love. He still loves this church who has expelled him from their midst. And we would say we would never tell our Lord to leave. No, we don't have to. We do it through disobedience. What was the sin of this church? What was their sin? It was this. It was as subtle as we allow it to be. No sin is subtle in and of itself. It's how we allow it. Through being deceived, we allow sin in its shamefulness, its nakedness, what it does to us, makes us blind, makes us so we can't hear. It says, hear what the Spirit says. You're not listening. Hear what the Spirit says. You're deaf. It's sin alone that makes us to not even be able to recognize our Lord and what He thinks of us. He doesn't want just our patronage. He doesn't want us to patronize, to just show up. Patronize the church meetings and the get-togethers and the singings. And He wants our hearts. And so He says, as many as I love, I rebuke, I chasten. Be zealous. Be zealous and repent. No Christian wants to repent. No non-Christian wants to repent. The world, the flesh, and the devil work in an absolute unity together. You can't take one away for them to be effective. They all have to be working together. The flesh, the world, and Satan. And they're working together so that we would never repent. To truly repent, to truly change our mind, and to recognize our Lord, what He's saying, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. How, dear ones, When we read this, this verse is used so often, as it fittingly can be used, to those of you, our dear friends, who are outside of Christ. The Lord is knocking on the door of your heart. The Lord is knocking for you to open the door. It's a door that only you can open. Only you can open that door. You have the access to the handle. And only you can open it. But dear ones, let's go back to this beginning, what we read here. He's speaking to a church. How can we read these verses that we read here together and leave here without examining ourselves, without considering our life, our estimation of who we are, and hearing what the Lord is saying, who this church was? We heard what they thought. We heard what the Lord thought. So is this just a one-time event that happened so many years ago and it doesn't happen today? Does the Lord not work today the way He worked then? Did He cease to work in the same manner? Of course not. We know that. So he has a church, and he has a body of believers in this congregation, and all of us are individuals, and he is approaching us the same manner. He loves us. He rebukes us. He chastens us. He urges us to be zealous and to repent. Why? So that he can come in. He wants us to be his host, and he wants to be our host. He wants to host us and to be hosted. He says, I will, if any man hear my voice and open the door. Again, the man has to hear the voice. The man has to open the door. I will come into him, and I will sup with him and he with me. He will set the table, and we'll commune together. So why does the door not get opened? Why do I not open the door? Think about it when we're at home. When we're at home and we hear a knock on the door, we'd like to know who is there. And if we really don't feel like having that person to come in, we won't open the door. We'll pretend we're not home. That's one means. So we don't want who's knocking in, so we don't answer. Or we could be in the basement. Is that where we are spiritually, in the basement, where we don't even hear the knock? We don't hear the knock. And so therefore, we're lukewarm, we're hard to reach. And we're ready to be spewed out of his mouth if this is our life. So Jesus is calling. He says, again, if you hear my voice, you open the door. Again, you have to open the door. It's up to me and you. He says, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. In Isaiah, we can read, he says, thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. This is the faithful witness. This is the Amen. He says, he is the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. This is where he dwells. With him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. He dwells in our hearts. Only if we have a contrite and a humble spirit. He dwells in eternity. He dwells in me. He dwells in you. He empowers. He gives us what he says here. What does he give us? Gold, so that we're rich. White raiment, so that we're clothed. And so the shame of our nakedness does not appear. He anoints our eyes with eye salve, so that we may see. This is what he gives us. But we have to let him in. And in order to let him in, we have to cease from sin. If we continue in sin, he's on the outside. Is it a good place for this church to be, that Jesus is on the outside of their church? He's on the outside, and he's knocking to come in. So what happens if my Lord is on the outside of my heart? And we hear tragedies happening all the time. We hear death takes place. Illnesses come. Cancers come. Heart attacks come. And I am taken away. The Lord wasn't in my heart. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. You're going to continue in eternity being unjust. It's no more, well, you know, okay, I guess he did. He would have repented. And no, there's none of that. Jesus says, I'm standing on the door of your heart and I'm knocking. I have everything to give you that you need. You think you have everything, you have nothing. You're wretched. You're wretched and poor. He's speaking to a body of believers, dear ones. He says, to him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Don't shut your ears, my dear friends, my dear brothers and sisters, all of us. Let's not shut our ears to this wonderful love that Christ is showing. He says, I love you, that's why I'm telling you this. Be zealous and repent. It doesn't say be zealous and go do something. Don't be a busy church. We have busy churches in the earlier chapters. Don't be busy. Repent. Don't try to work your way to my heart because you're unworthy. There's nothing you can do that is worthy of what I will give you when you just open the door. But we know, dear ones, when we open the door to Jesus Christ, that we have to change. And so man doesn't want to change. And so man lives deceived. This church in Laodicea lived deceived. I don't know what their end was. I don't think it tells us if they repented or not. But the point is, they were being called and they were being told to repent. You, my dear friend, outside of Jesus Christ, he's on the outside of your heart. Why? What is in the world that you see that is worth? It's worth what? He says, you think you have gold, yet you're poor and wretched. You're blind, you're naked, you're miserable. Whatever it is that you're looking for, whatever it is that's keeping you from opening the door to your heart to let me in, he goes, it's wretchedness. And you will stand before me naked, even as Adam and Eve were shamed. We're shamed to see their Lord. Why? Because they sinned. Sin was there. What was that sin? What was the sin of this church? What was the sin of the other churches? Do I have sin? See, those are all questions that the Lord will tell you and tell me. Where we stand with him. The Lord will show us, but we have to let him in. When you hear the knock on the door of your heart, my dear friend, don't say, I don't want him. I don't want to open the door to him. But isn't that what we do? If you're at home and someone's knocking and you don't want to see me, you don't open the door to me. You pretend you don't hear. You pretend you're not home, whatever the case might be, because you really don't want me in your house. Is that what we say to Jesus? I really don't want you. Because if we open the door, he demands a change. Now the question is, do we love him to change for him? Are we ready to die to ourselves and to live for him? Are we going to enjoy to sit with him at the table and to sup with him and for him to sup with us? the presence of the high and lofty ones who inhabits eternity, inhabits our hearts. Is that where we want? Is that what we want? Do we want to have communion with our Lord Jesus, our Creator? He created us for one purpose. Are we living that purpose? Is our heart open to Him? Do we daily put Him on and walk with Him? Do we have a zeal to be truthful to one another? To be loving? Do we have a desire that burns within us to spread His gospel message? Not through lip service, no, but through obedience. It's far better than sacrifice. So, dear ones, when we read this chapter, it needs to bring us to the that we would open our hearts and to truly take an assessment of who we are. John says, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And then he goes on and says, and His commandments aren't grievous. His commandments will never make us grieve. His commandments will not be hard to do. His commandments will not be, they're not hard when our love is there. And when we open the door and He communes with us and He sups with us and we sup with Him, nothing's hard. We're in His presence. He's the power. What did John and Peter and John say? I don't have gold and I don't have silver. We don't have none of that. But what we do have, in the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. That's the power. They didn't do that on their own. It was the power that was in them. Who was that power? They could do nothing on their own. So how can we go through this life without being deceived? Of course. Open the door. Open the door and let Him in. And He will direct our paths. We read that this past Lord's Day. Acknowledge Him in all things. He's going to direct our way. We're not going to be lost. We'll never get lost. Never. There's no way to get lost. If we're acknowledging Him and walking with Him and supping with Him, we're not going to get lost. So whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. What is it? What is that victory? Our faith. Believe. Believe in Jesus. And may that belief fling the door to our hearts open to Him. And let Him in. And let Him. Dear ones, control our life, direct our paths, and we will see joy and peace that we've never felt. We will have a love that we've never felt. It's a love that keeps on growing and growing, a love that isn't dormant. That's not love. Love is active. Love just keeps moving. And we're moving towards our Lord, and we serve Him. In greater measure, every day anew, more and more. And He reveals Himself more and more to us. Does that mean we need to know the mysteries that no one else is going to know? No. He reveals Himself in His power and in His love, and who He is, His holiness, His beauty, His righteousness. And in that, dear ones, He strengthens us. So may our Lord bless our coming together this evening, and may we, each one of us, take a look, not through our rose-colored glasses of who we are like this church did, but through the mirror of the Word of God. That's how we know. The mirror is the Word. That is who He is. So He is the mirror. We look at Him and we'll see our inadequacies. And we'll open the door to our heart and say, Lord, come in. May God bless His word upon our hearts in this evening. Amen.
When we're sincere with ourselves, it doesn't take us very long to recognize that of our own, we are wretched, we're miserable, we're poor, we're blind, and we're naked. It doesn't take very long to recognize that when we're honest. But when we know that He that is faithful, He that is Amen, He that is the true witness and the beginning of creation, when we know that He dwells within us, our lives truly are rich. A measure of richness that this world has no clue about. It doesn't take us long to recognize these things. Of our own, we're wretched, we're poor, we're miserable, we're blind. But with Christ, we are rich beyond measure. And so the Spirit here is telling us this evening, overcome. Overcome. Allow Christ into your heart. Experience and relish that richness with the Lord. And so we're here tonight because we want to encourage each other. We want to build each other up. We want to encourage each other to this walk with the Lord. That we would know Jesus Christ. That we would sup with Him and He with us. That our heart's door would be open to Him, not to the world, that our hearts would be open to Jesus Christ, and that He would come, and that He would sup with us, and we with Him. It's interesting to note that last Sunday, and then a few Sundays back, we read Luke chapter 12, verse 37. It says this, Jesus Christ speaking, "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall be found watching or overcoming," we could say. "Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make himself to sit down to meat," or to eat, just as Jesus Christ here is saying to the Laodicean church, that I will sup with him and he with me. And then he concludes this verse in Luke, where it says, "And will come forth and serve them." As Brother Ed pointed out last Sunday, it's a humbling thought to think that God would come and serve us. The Lord would come and serve us. But that's what he's saying both here in Luke and in Revelation chapter 3. That he wants to come into our lives. He wants to come into our hearts. He wants to have this sweet fellowship and allow him who is faithful and everlasting and true and a true witness and the Amen to dwell within us. Someone so significant in someone who's so insignificant and so unworthy. Jesus invited the disciples when he was on the beach. He said, "Come and dine." And he supped with them that last time. And he's asking each and every one of us that he would dine and that we would sup together with him. Amen.